Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Before we learn the Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have our topic heading, the Nosei, where we have written Lahazbir Lama Bereisha Chayov. Why in the Reisha of our Mishnah does it say Chayov Avur Shchitas Korban B'Shabbes Shelo Kedin for having slaughtered a sacrifice improperly on Shabbos? U'B'Seifa Rabbi Yeshua Poter. And at the end of the Mishnah we find that Rabbi Yeshua exempts. So we'll try to resolve the Reisha with the Seifa of our Mishnah regarding an improper Shechitas Korban on Shabbos. Does it result in a Shabbos violation, Chayav, or is there exemption? So we turn to the Gemara, B'mai Askinon. What are we dealing with when we learn the Mishnah? Now, specifically, the Mishnah has mentioned that a Korban Pesach that is slaughtered without the Pesach intention on a Shabbos, which is the 14th of Nisan, he is Chayav. So it's a Pesach done Shelo Lishmo on the 14th of Nisan, that's a Shabbos, he is considered in violation of the rules of Shabbos. In other words, he's done a meaningless act, if you will, and hence it is a Shabbos violation. Im Lema Betoya, if you're talking about someone who thought it was another kind of sacrifice. So, Shamis Mino, should we conclude from here, from the fact that it says that he is Chayov, Akira Betois, Havio Akira? The word Akira means the uprooting, the undoing of the identity of the Korban, done under mistaken circumstances, constitutes an effective uprooting. Should we conclude that? Now, by saying that Akira Betois Havi Akira, here's a person who mistakenly thought that this Korban Pesach, an animal that was designated as a Pesach offering, as a Korban Pesach, meaning the offering done on the 14th of Nisan, and he had in mind another identity for it, that mistake is sufficient in uprooting the name of it as a Korban Pesach, and hence he's done something he should not have done. So that would lead us to this conclusion that Akira Betois is considered an effective Akira. Well, should we conclude that? The Gemara says no. Ella B'Oker. We're talking about someone who knowingly takes an animal that is designated as a Korban Pesach, which is allowed to be brought on Shabbos, and he knowingly shechts it, slaughters it with a different kind of Korban in mind. So at this point then, we will have established our Mishnah as talking about circumstances of Oker, a knowing uprooting of the name, of the identity. Amal Seifa. Well, let's continue with the latter part of the Mishnah and see what comes out. It says, "Ushar kol hazvachim sheshochtem l'shum Pesach," all other kinds of sacrifices that you slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan, that was a Shabbos, and you did them l'shem Pesach, with a Pesach intention, im einon ru'uyin chayov, if it's a kind of animal that's not fit to be a Korban Pesach, then he will be guilty of having violated Shabbos. In other words, there's no reason for him to have made a mistake, because an Einon Ruyin would include something like a calf. A calf is something that couldn't have been a Korban Pesach in the first place. So if someone did a calf that was designated as a korban shlomim, for example, and he shechted it with a Pesach intention, well, he's chayav. It's a clear violation of Shabbos. Im ru'uyin hein, if you had an animal that was designated as a separate type, a different korban, but it was a kind of korban that could have been a korban Pesach, and you shechted it with a Pesach intention on Shabbos, for the 14th of Nisan, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos. Rabbi Eliezer says he is considered chayov. He's considered having violated Shabbos, and hence, if done by mistake, so he'll bring a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Now, we've dashed underlined this because this is the main point. And Rabbi Yeshua says that in that case, there is exemption. If you're talking about someone who willingly or knowingly shechs an animal that's designated as something else, and he does it as a korban Pesach, mali ru'uyin, mali she'enon ru'uyin, on what grounds would you be making a distinction between an animal that's fit to be a korban Pesach and an animal that's not fit to be a korban Pesach? Where you saw that in the case of Eino Ruyin, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that he's chayav, and in the case of Ruyin, he says there's exemption. But why? If he is oker, there's no issue of mistake. He knowingly takes an animal that's designated as a non-korban Pesach, and he shechts it as if it's a korban Pesach. Ela pshita betoe. It must be that he made a mistake. He made a mistake thinking that it was a Korban Pesach, and it's something that's fit to be a Korban Pesach. We call that toe bedvar mitzvah. He made a mistake in the context of trying to perform a mitzvah. Reisha Be'oker v'seifa b'toeh. Are you going to say now that the Mishnah is imbalanced, that the Reisha, as we established, had to be talking about, since we didn't want to conclude Akira b'toeh, is considered Akira, the Reisha then we established is a case of his shechting a Korban Pesach with a different sacrifice in mind, but there he did so knowing that he was uprooting the Korban Pesach identity. And in the Seifa, we just said that it's a case of toeh, it's a case of shechting a different kind of sacrifice with a Pesach intention, but under mistaken circumstances. That's imbalanced, though. Amar Rabbi Yovanin, that's the way it is. Reisha be'oker, the Reisha case of Pesach sheshochtoi sheloi lishmoi, is a case of his knowingly uprooting the Pesach identity. And the seifa b'toeh, the seifa of the case of Sha'ar Kol HaZvachim, it was that, a case of mistake. Ashkechei Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, the Rabbi Avo. Rav Yitzchok met up with Rabbi Avo, the Havikoi b'chluso d'inshi. Rabbi Avo was standing amongst a very large gathering of people. Amar le masnisen mai. And Rav Yitzchok asks, what's the story with our Mishnah, in light of our recent discussion? Amar Lei, Rabbi Avo answers, Reisha ba'oiker, v'seifa b'toyah. Just like we established before, you can see we've used a double underline to highlight the terms Reisha and Seifa. Tana minei arvoin zimnin. Rabbi Yitzchok went over this explanation of the Mishnah 40 times. V'domi lei keman demancha b'kisein. It appeared as if it was placed, mancha is resting, or placed bekisa in his pocket. He had it in his pocket. This is an expression that you find in other places, an expression indicating the number of times one is expected to review, and let us say that until that number of times, if a person thinks he has a handle on something, he might be fooling himself. Here you have people from the greatest of our people, and they needed to review it 40 times to gain this level of mastery. That's Kamanda Manchel Bekise. How much more should be said for us regarding this topic of review and command of information? We continue with a question. You'll notice the long question marking. Tanan, Omar Rabbi Eliezer. Ma im Pesach Shemuter Lishmo. A Korban Pesach is something you're allowed to shecht on Shabbos with the Pesach intention. Geshishino es Shmo Chayov. When you shecht a Pesach, like the Reisha of our Mishnah, where you shecht it with a different identity in mind, Chayav, that would be a Shabbos violation. So you're starting here, Rabbi Lezer argues against Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, mind you, a Pesach that has a Shabbos option, but if you change it to a different Korban in your mind, that's a Shabbos violation. Zvachim, other kinds of sacrifices, like is the topic of the Seif of our Mishnah, which are also to begin with on Shabbos. Kesheshino es Shmon eino din shechayev. When you change their name to something else, to a Pesach, all the more so he should be chayev, because there you're dealing with your basic Sha'ar Korbanos, where there's less tolerance, there's less Shabbos option available. That's Rabbi Elezer's point. So what was Rabbi Elezer saying? He was using the laws of Pesach as his jumping off point to counter Rabbi Yeshua regarding Rabbi Yeshua's stance by Sha'ar Korbanos. Now, the Im Isa, if our presentation of the Mishnah is correct, Ha Lo Domi, the case of Pesach versus the case of Sha'ar Korbanos are not similar. De Reisha Ba'oker, we set up the case of the Pesach, there he's Chayav because he did a knowing identity switch of the sacrifice. He shechted a Korban Pesach knowingly, Shelo Lishmo, V'Seifa Batoya. The Seifa is a case of a person who made a mistake. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't be able to counter Rabbi Yeshua's leniency from the Reisha. And hence, there's reason for Rabbi Yeshua to have ruled poter, like we saw on the fifth line from the top of the Gemara here. The Gemara responds, Le Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who was making this argument from the case of the Pesach, which was done in an Akira fashion, to the case of Sha'ar Zvachim, which was done betoys, lo shoni lei. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't make a distinction between Oker and Toe. Any change in sacrifice name is enough to create a common thread forming his argument. Whether he changed it under knowing circumstances or changed it through a mistake, it's a change. The Gemara continues, Le Rabbi Yeshua deshoni lei lishni lei. Rabbi Yeshua, who was under attack by Rabbi Eliezer, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is reason for making a distinction between the case of the Reisha versus the case of the Seifa. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua say this back to Rabbi Eliezer? Namely, how can you prove your point from the case of Pesach Shelo Lishmo, which is done in an Oker fashion, to my din concerning Sha'ar Korbanos that were shechted L'shem Pesach, which was done under mere toes conditions? The Gemara says, Hochi ko'amar lei. And now what we have is a framed section, which is in effect a rereading of the Mishnah. He says, L'didi, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, L'didi lo domi. According to me, what you are trying to argue from the case of the Reisha to the case of the Sefer concerning which we have our difference of opinion, the cases are different. Reisha ba'oker v'sefer ba'toya. The Reisha, where we saw there's a definitive chay of a definitive Shabbos violation, that's because he changed the identity knowingly. In the case of the Seifa, though, he changed the identity of the Sha'ar Korbanos in a mistaken fashion. And that's why since he changed the Shaar Korbanos to the Shein Pesach, and you're dealing with an animal that was fit to be a Korban Pesach, it's a reasonable type of mistake, and I say that's Toya B'dvar Mitzvah, and hence he's Potter. L'didcha, but according to you that don't make the distinction, nevertheless, Loi, still, you are wrong, says Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Eliezer. Im Amris B'Pesach, Sheshino es Shmoy L'Dovar Ha'Osur, and you'll notice this is information that we saw in the Mishnah between the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua is arguing to Rabbi Eliezer, even on your terms, there's still reason for exemption. Because if they say that they're Chayav, I'll read that line again, Im Amris B'Pesach Sheshino es Shmoy L'Dovar Ha'Osur, if the Mishnah expressed guilt in the case of the Reisha, where he shechted the Pesach with an intention of changing its name from Pesach, which is allowed on Shabbos, to something that's forbidden. Tomar Bezvochim, should you say the same thing in the case of other Korbanos, Sheshino Eshmon, Ludovar Amuter, where his change of identity was in the direction of leniency to a Korban Pesach? Amale Rabbi Eliezer, Emure Tzibur Yochichu. The term Emure Tzibur is, as we've said in the past, is the reference to korbanos of a public nature that were stated to be Emure from the word Omar. Korbanos that were stated to be brought by the public, even on Shabbos, like your Tomet Shel Shachar, Tomet Shel Ben Arbayim. So Rabbi Lezer says, Emure Tzibur Yochichu, let the case of the Emure Tzibur prove my point. Shehein Mutoren Lishmon, they are allowed to be done with the right intention, namely a Korban Tomet Shel Shachar on Shabbos brought as such. Shochet Lishmon Chayov, but someone who shechts other things with their other types of sacrifices with a Korban Emure Tzibur in mind, he will be guilty of violating Shabbos. So what Rabbi Lezer is trying to show you is that being Meshane, the shame, to something that's Mutter is a Shabbos violation. It's a case, it's a case of slaughtering a sacrifice improperly on Shabbos. Omar Loi Rabbi Yeshua Loi. Rabbi Yeshua responds, you can't prove your point of guilt from the case of a Emurei Tzibur to the case of Shaar Zvochim Shenizbechu L'Shem Pesach. Why? Im Amris Be'Emurei Tzibur Shekein Yesh Lohen Kitzva. Kitzva means a fixed amount. There's only one Tomet Shel Shachar, and there's only one Tomet Shel Ben Arbayim, and the people all around you are not engaged in that, and you come along and shecht some other korban with an Emurei Tzibur in mind. So that, of course, Rabbi Yeshua says a person should be chayav because there's no reason for him to have made a mistake. Toimar bePesach shein lo kitzva, but shechting other sacrifices with a Pesach intent, when everyone around you is involved with it, there are tens of thousands of korban Pesachs that are being offered, and you're amongst them. So even though you have another sacrifice, and you do it with a Pesach intention, that's a reasonable type of mistake. And that is what I would call a Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah, and hence he should be innocent. Because his intention is for something that's such a reasonable mistake, namely to shech with a Korban Pesach intention, and it is the 14th of Nisan, even though it happens to be Shabbos, he should be exempt. We continue now in the Gemara using Kitzva as a jump-off point, and we introduce a new marking in order to be able to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the upcoming the sukkah, the trapezoid shape, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we have this featured as a Ma'akav, and with the narrow part of the trapezoid volcano shape facing up, these will represent kushios, and with the inverted shape, it will represent tshuvos. And you'll notice that this marking scheme will continue till the top of Omid Beis. So now we continue with a long question. L'meimra, We should have pointed out a little earlier, but it's never too late. Just a few lines up, we have a topic heading where we've written Machlokes Tanoim Toy Bidvar Mitzvah Im Chayav Oy Potter. And that we saw so far, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Toya Bidvar Mitzvah is not grounds for exemption. A mistake with the intent of fulfilling a mitzvah, that doesn't exempt you. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, the mistake and result in Shabbos violation, but it was with the intent of fulfilling a mitzvah that could be done on Shabbos, that is reason for exemption. So now we introduced this idea of kitzvah. The question, notice it's a long question, as we said, Lameimra de Cholhecha de Is Le Kitzvah Mechayev Rabbi Yeshua. Are you saying that when there is a fixed amount and that's it, and beyond that, no more is done, Rabbi Yeshua concedes that there is guilt? Varei Tinoikos, and we're going to go into a non-korban realm. Tinoikos are babies, a reference specifically to Bris Milah. A Bris Milah, as everyone knows, is a mitzvah that can be done on Shabbos if it's the eighth day of the child's life, and it comes out on a Shabbos. Of course, it's a case the child was born on a Shabbos. 8 days later is his eighth day. So that is the basis of the following analysis. Now, a person has two children to circumcise. The case of tinokos, the yesh lohen kitzvah, there's a fixed amount. There's utnan, and regarding the case of tinokos, sheyesh lohen kitzvah, what we mean by kitzvah, a fixed amount, is illustrated here. Mishahoyu lo shnei tinokos, a person has two children. Let's say a person had twin boys. Echod lamulo achar hashabbos, the echod lamulo b'shabbos. They were born in such a way that one was born on Shabbos and the other exited its mother on Sunday, so that a week later, 8 days later, one of the circumcisions is to take place achar hashabbos on Sunday, and the other is to take place on Shabbos the day before. V'shochach umol es shel achar hashabbos b'shabbos, and a mistake took place, and he circumcised the Sunday baby a day early on its seventh day, which happened to be a Shabbos. Chayav means that's considered a Shabbos violation, and in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, he would have to bring a sin offering. He didn't accomplish the mitzvah, Bris Milah. There's no such thing as a regular Jewish birth that has a circumcision is to be done on its seventh day. Echod lomulo be'erev Shabbos, ve'echod lomulo b'Shabbos. Another case, two babies. One was born on a Friday, and the other was born on a Shabbos. So that 8 days later, once again, Friday circumcision and a Shabbos circumcision. V'shochach umol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos, and mistakenly, the father circumcised the Friday baby on a Shabbos, which in effect is on its ninth day. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Chatos, Rabbi Lezer says, you had no right to do that, and therefore you are guilty of a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rabbi Yeshua says there's exemption. Even though this was an incorrect thing to do, nevertheless, a mitzvah was accomplished. So this is called Toye Bidvar Mitzvah. It's a mistake with the intention and subsequent factual fulfillment of a mitzvah. That's reason for exemption, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So what do we see? We see that the concept of Toya B'dvar Mitzvah is not limited to things like the Korban Pesach, because it's a Dovr Shein Lo Kitzvah, but even something that Yesh Lo Kitzvah, there is reason for exemption. And that's the question based on what had been stated earlier in the rereading of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yoshua had said that if you shecht other korbanos with the emurei tzibur intention, there is chiyuv there because you were dealing with something sheyesh lo kitzvah. Here you have something sheyesh lo kitzvah, and there is exemption. Omar Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami responds, And that's why we have this inverted volcano shape. Hocha b'mayaskinan, the seifa where Rabbi Yeshua exempts, is a specific circumstance. Kegoin shekidam umol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. He had two babies on Shabbos there, present. And he circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbos. The Iko hach the Shabbos the Torid Bay. At that time, there was the real Shabbos circumcision in front of him, concerning which he had his preoccupation. His mind was on. He knew that he had a Shabbos baby still to do. So at the time that he did the Friday baby first, he had in his mind to do the Shabbos baby. If we look in the Rashi across from here, it says, "Hocha b'mayaskin, k'gon shekida mumol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos, b'shal shemol ezeh." When he was circumcising the Friday baby incorrectly, of course, on that Shabbos, adayin shneim oimdim, both babies were there, the mishum hochi poter, and it's for that reason that he is exempt. The torud hoya the echod mehem, he was preoccupied with one of them. Diodea hu shayom chovas so echod olav, he knew that today that baby was obligatory upon him to circumcise. Umas nisin kagon the kodim v'shachtin lemuri tzibor. The case of the Mishnah is where the public sacrifices had already been slaughtered. The hashdalo havet torud the osuk b'shchitasan, and as such, he wasn't preoccupied with public sacrifice. So therefore, when he shechted some other korban with a public sacrifice intent, and the public sacrifice had already been slaughtered, there was no reason for him to have slaughtered this second korban with the emurei tzibur intention. And the Gemara spells that out. Hocha, where Rabbi Yeshua is mechayev in the case of the emurei tzibur, kagon de shekida v'shachtinu the emurei tzibur reisha. He had already taken care of the emurei tzibur at the outset, and now he was no longer torud with a devar mitzvah. That, of course, is in contrast with the case of the babies, where even after he had done the Friday baby on Shabbos, the Shabbos baby was still there on his mind. Ihochi. And the Gemara raises a question. You'll notice this is a long question. The Gemara continues. Ihochi. If it's so that the Emurei Tzibur were already offered, then let us quote from our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Hashochet L'Shem Emurei Tzibur Potor. Rabbi Meir said that where you shecht other sacrifices on Shabbos with an Emurei Tzibur intention, this you might remember was a section of the Mishnah on the previous Omer that we had in brackets, but Rabbi Meir said that even that case there is exemption. So we ask, are you telling me that that's how far Rabbi Meir goes? Even though the Emurei Tzibur were already taken care of, you can still benefit from exemption in the case where you shechted other korbanos with Emurei Tzibur in mind. This is an Erev is the name of a place. So Rabbi Chia from that place teaches the following source, and it features Rabbi Meir in it. So let's see what Rabbi Meir says about circumstances of a parallel nature. And once again, we're going to be citing the case of two babies and a bris milah. It says in this source, and before we read the source, though, there is a note that we have that we want to pay attention to. The starred note says, Yesh lahir. The lamaskona beemes Rabbi Meir poter afagav the kolim shachtin amir tzibur v'akusha me'atinoikos nidchisa. We're just forewarning that in fact Rabbi Meir will rule exemption even in the case of kolim shachtinu. and the question that we're going to raise now from the babies will be rejected. That's by way of overview. However, in the meantime, we are going to raise a question, thinking that on the one hand, Rabbi Meir seems to say that when you shecht emur, with other korbanos with an emurei tzibur intention, you're exempt, and we're working with the supposition. Would he say that even in the case of kodem v'shechtinu lemurei tzibur? V'atanya, Rabbi Chiyom Evel Erev, Omer Rabbi Meir, loy nechluku, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, they would not disagree al shehoyu lo shnei tinokos, echod lomul erev Shabbos, v'echod lomul b'Shabbos. Two babies, one who should be circumcised on a Friday, and the other on Shabbos. V'shochachu mol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. D'chayev, where he mistakenly circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbos, which is its ninth day, and everyone will agree, says Rabbi Meir, in that case, even though a mitzvah was done, because circumcision beyond the eighth day, even though it's not the right time, it's nevertheless considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of circumcision. So in that case, according to Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Yeshua will say he's chayev. Al ma nechleku, in which case are they in disagreement? Al shehoyu lo shnei tinoikos, echod lomul achar haShabbos veechod lomul b'Shabbos. One is a Sunday circumcision, the other one is a Shabbos case. V'shochachu mol es shel achar haShabbos b'Shabbos, and he mistakenly circumcised the Sunday baby on Shabbos on its seventh day. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Eliezer says he is guilty because he violated Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says he's exempt. Now, in order to really appreciate this, we must look at the Rashi. Alma nechliku, v'kosalka daita hashto. The assumption right now is as follows. And we've used a diamond marking to highlight in the Rashi, Reisha versus Seifa later on. B'Reisha mechayev Rabbi Meir, kishemol es shnehem. Rabbi Meir will hold that he's guilty where he circumcised both of them on Shabbos. Al yedei shesovur sheshnehem kvar higiu zmanon. The father thinking that both babies, their time had arrived. Umol shel Shabbos tchila. And he circumcised the proper baby first, Shizmano Hayom, Shabbos being its time, V'achar kach mol es shel esmol, and then he circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbos. V'afal gav the also mitzvah, even though a mitzvah was done, Kevan de lo ramyo tirdo ole, Bosar de mahale l'shel Shabbos, he no longer should have been preoccupied with it, because once he circumcised the Shabbos baby properly on Shabbos, he should have no more circumcision thoughts for the rest of that day. And therefore, lav toye bidvar mitzvah, we cannot consider him having made a mistake within the realm of mitzvahs, because the tirda element, the preoccupation element, should have been lacking. The Seifa Potter, and the case of the Seifa, the second Shnei Tinokos case, Mishum de Torid Bishel Shabbos, he had in his mind to do a Shabbos circumcision. One of the babies was a Shabbos day circumcision. The Huchlef Lo Shel Mochar, and he mixed it up, he confused it with the Sunday baby. The Ha Vadai Lo Koomar Shemola Shnehem. Here he certainly would not have circumcised both of them, because he knows that only one of them, one of the baby's times has arrived. Alma hecha de lo torito idna, What do we see from all of this? That in a case where you are not preoccupied right now, as was the case of the Reisha, where he had done the Shabbos baby already, and then he was coming to do the, then he went ahead and did the Friday baby afterwards. Le Rebbe Meir Chayev. Rebbe Meir acknowledges that there's a Chiyuv. So the question then is, why, in the case of Shar Korbonus that were slaughtered with the Emurei Tzibur intention, does Rebbe Meir say there is exemption even after the Emurei Tzibur were actually slaughtered? In simpler terms, in the case of the Emurei Tzibur, Rebbe Meir was saying there's exemption even when there's no more tear-daw factor. And in the case of babies, we see that even though there is no more tear-daw factor, there is guilt. The Gemara responds that the source that we just read, as it is not understandable. This is a response. So even though it sounds, it's phrased as a question, in effect it's a response. In other words, the source that was just raised as a question cannot be understood as it appears. V'tisbara. Ma hosam, the lo ovid mitzvah, Potter Rabbi Yeshua, mind you, in the Seifa, the second diamond case in this last quote, where a mitzvah was not accomplished, namely, where he did a Sunday baby on Shabbos, he's doing that baby circumcision on its seventh day. There's no mitzvah in that. And yet, Potter Rabbi Yeshua says there's exemption. Hecha de ka'ovid mitzvah mechayev, in the reisha of this source, where he did a Friday baby on Shabbos, namely on its ninth day, that is a mitzvah. Even though it shouldn't have been done on Shabbos, but a delayed circumcision does constitute a proper circumcision, or a fulfillment of the laws of circumcision. Why there, where you've done a mitzvah, why there would Rabbi Yeshua find guilt? Therefore, Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. We have to re-explain things. And after, as a result of the re-explanation, we will then find consistency in Rebbe Meir. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai Reisha, where we see Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Meir saying there's guilt, kagon shekidam umol shel Shabbos berev Shabbos. He circumcised first the Shabbos baby on Friday. And as a result of that, when Shabbos came around, there is no baby for a Shabbos circumcision. He had taken care of, so to speak, wrongfully, and there's no mitzvah. He had done the Shabbos baby on its seventh day, namely on Friday. And when it comes to Shabbos, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Shelo nitno Shabbos litchos. Shabbos isn't given over for being superseded. The Seifa nitna Shabbos litchos etzlo. In the Seifa, there were two babies. One of them needed to be done then and there on Shabbos. He happened to have mistakenly done the Sunday baby on Shabbos, but nevertheless, at that point in time, Shabbos was available, was there, was present to be superseded by the Mila. Hacha, in the case of Shitas Rabbi Meir regarding the shechting of something else, L'shem Emurei Tzibur, Hare nitna Shabbos litchos etzel Korban Tzibur. Shabbos is a day that Korban Tzibors are allowed to be done. Therefore, Rabbi Meir sees that as reason for leniency, even though the improper shechita was done of another Korban, L'shem Emurei Tzibur. Omar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana. Well, with that kind of analysis, Hachanami, in the Reisha case of the babies, where he did, according to your explanation, where he did the Shabbos baby on Friday, why is everyone unanimously condemning the case of having done then the Friday baby on Shabbos? Hare nitna Shabbos luchos etzel tinokos di alma, regarding the realm of babies and Shabbos. Shabbos is a day in which circumcision can take place. Maybe not in your specific case, but it's just like you are explaining the case of the Emurei Tzibur exemption of Rabbi Meir based on it being a day of offering Emurei Tzibur. So too, Shabbos is a day in which circumcisions can take place. So why in the Reisha, where he circumcised the Shabbos baby on Friday, is there guilt for having circumcised the Friday baby on Shabbos? Amarle, the response to that is Legabi Dahai Gavra Nihas Lo Isyaiv. Regarding this particular father, Shabbos was not given over to be superseded, because as far as this particular father is concerned, he had no longer any Shabbos babies for circumcision. He did his Shabbos baby prematurely on Friday. So therefore, the case of the circumcision nevertheless is a bigger problem than the case of the public sacrifices. And at this point then, we see that as far as Shitas Rabbi Meir is concerned, there is consistency in his logic. Continuing in the Gemara, Ushar Kol HaZvochim Sheshachton L'Shum Pesach, we had seen that's a slaughtering, taking another type sacrifice on Shabbos, 14th of Nisan, and shechting it with a Pesach intention. Im einon ru'uyin chayov. If it's a type of animal that's not fit to be a Korban Pesach, we used an example before of a calf. Korban Pesach must come from a sheep or goat, and he took a calf. So if he does that, he is going to be considered in violation of Shabbos. Ve'im ru'uyin, if it was an animal, though it was designated to be another kind of korban, but it was a type of animal, a sheep or goat within its first year of life, a male sheep or goat within its first year of life, it's fit to have been a korban Pesach, and he shechted it as if it were a korban Pesach. Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Lezer holds that he nevertheless did an improper slaughtering, and therefore he's considered in violation of Shabbos, and as a result brings a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua feels that the circumstances are so close to a Pesach fulfillment, and it is the 14th of Nisan, which is the time for Korban Pesach, therefore there is exemption. Man Tana Deshoni Lebein Ru'uyin L'She'enon Ru'uyin. The Gemara wants to find out which Tana makes a distinction in Halacha, makes a distinction in terms of the result between something that could have been a Korban Pesach versus something that could not have been in the first place a Korban Pesach. So the Tana that makes this distinction is Rabbi Shimon He. This is in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Shimon, and we'll see that as the source unfolds. Disanya, Echod hazvochim huruyin, v'echod zvochim she'enon ruuyin. Whether you're dealing with animals that would have been fit versus animals that are not fit. V'chein hashochet l'shem emurei tzibur. Likewise, shechting another sacrifice as if it were a public sacrifice. Poter, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is very lenient. He does not make any distinction. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, once you have in mind a Korban Pesach in your slaughtering, and it's the 14th of Nisan, even though it's a Shabbos, that's reason for exemption. We will see, by the way, later in the Gemara, some cases where even Rabbi Meir concedes there will be guilt, but till now, up till this point, Rabbi Meir is mekil. Omar Rabbi Shimon, lo nechliku Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua, al she'enon ruyin shechayev, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, particularly Rabbi Yeshua, concedes to Rabbi Elazar in a case where the animal was not fit to be a Korban Pesach. We can't call that a to'eh, a mere mistake, but rather it's classified as a shogeg. Shogeg is a type of error that borders on the irresponsible, borders on pshia, recklessness. And therefore, everyone will agree that he is chayav. Al ma nechliku, when do Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua argue? Al haru'uyin, and this is presented by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is a later Tana, and he's presenting the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, earlier Tanoim. Under these circumstances, they will disagree on ru'uyin. Rabbi Eliezer mechayav chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter. We had said before which Tana makes a distinction, and you can see with our markings, we've used some dash underlining, and we highlight in addition to Rabbi Shimon, the expression She'en on Ru'yin versus Ru'yin. That in the case of Ru'yin, you see that Rabbi Yeshua will be Mekel, as opposed to the case of Ein Ru'yin, he agrees that the is Chayef. Omar of Bevai, Omar Rabbi Eliezer. Poter Hoya, Rabbi Meir, Afilu Egel Shel Zivchei Shlomim Sheshochtoi L'Shum Pesach. We've used a diamond marking, and you can see on the side we have a Nosei Mivne heading where we've written Shitas Rabbi Meir Betoya. We're going to be looking into his opinion regarding someone who makes a mistake. Rabbi Meir Poter Afilu Shochat Behemos She'enon Ru'uyin L'Pesach L'Shein Pesach. He will exempt people who slaughter things that are not even fit to be a Korban Pesach, doing it with L'Shem Pesach. We use a double underline to highlight that expression, L'Shem Pesach. The diamond are Shnei Dugmois Shoynois Ad Kama Rabbi Meir Mekil. Two diamonds showing us how far Rabbi Meir will go in his leniency. So the Gemara continues with Rav Bevi's comment that Rabbi Meir will be Mekel even where you shecht a calf. Let's read that again. Poterhor Rabbi Meir, afilu egel shel zivchei shlomim, a calf that was designated as a shlomim sacrifice, sheshechtoi l'shum pesach, and he shechted it on the 14th of Nisan, falling out on a Shabbos with a Pesach intention. Omar le Rabbi Zera le Rav Bevi. Rabbi Zera asks, for Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Moide Hoya Rabbi Meir Bebali Mumin. But doesn't Rabbi Yochanan claim that Rabbi Meir will be Moide, will concede to guilt, that that one is Chayav, one is considered in violation of Shabbos to the tune of having to bring a Korban Chatas in the case that you shecht a blemished animal L'Shem Pesach? Amalei, so Rav Bevi answers, the Bali Mumin Lo Torid Behu. When you're dealing with blemished animals, they are unfit regarding the whole realm of sacrifices. Therefore, a blemished animal is not something that one would be preoccupied with in the first place. The high Torid Bay. However, an animal that is a calf that was designated as a shlomim is something that from the time he sets it aside, he has in mind to offer it as a sacrifice. And it's supposed to be offered as a sacrifice, just not on Shabbos. But it's something that is that concerning which he is preoccupied. And that state of preoccupation is the svara for Rabbi Meir's exemption. Bo minei rovo meirav nachmon. Chulin l'shem pesach ma li omar Rabbi Meir. An unsanctified animal, chulin, a common animal, that was shechted on the 14th of Nisan as if it were a Korban Pesach. What would Rabbi Meir have said about that? Omar Le, Rav Nachman answers, Poter Hoya Rabbi Meir Afilu Chulin L'Shum Pesach. Even a case of a common animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos as if it were a Korban Pesach, Rabbi Meir would say he's exempt. Question. V'ha'omar Rabbi Yochanan. This is Rava asking Rav Nachman, but is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan says Moidahoy Rabbi Meir Bebali Mumin, that Rabbi Meir concedes that there will be guilt in the case of someone slaughtering a blemished animal? So the Gemara answers Bale Mumin Lo Michlefi. A blemished animal is not something that one would confuse with an animal fit to be a sacrifice. Hani Michlefi. Unsanctified animals, chulin animals, is something that could be confused with sanctified animals. And therefore, the person could say, I made a mistake. I thought that this was sanctified, and that's why Rabbi Meir will pater, will exempt. The Gemara asks, V'taymo de Rabbi Meir mishum ichlufi v'lo ichlufi? Is that the basis of Rabbi Meir, the idea of switching things around? The Omer of Bevai Omer of Elazar, Poiter hoy Rabbi Meir afil egel shel zivchei shlomim sheshochtoi l'shom Pesach. This was the case before, where Rabbi Meir would say there's exemption for shechting a calf designated as a shlomim, and there the reason, the Savora was, Alma Taimo the Rabbi Meir Mishum de Torid. There, it's a calf is not something that would be switched around for a sheep, but there is the element of preoccupation, of having to bring it as a sacrifice. So the basis of Rabbi Meir's exemption is the concept or the phenomenon of tirda, but not because of ichlufi. Amarle, Rav Nachman answers, both are reasons for exemption. Torid afal gavdolo michlif, preoccupation, even though it's not something that would be switched around. Michlif afal gavdolo torid, likewise, switching around is the case of chulin, even though it's not something that you're preoccupied with. In other words, regarding an unsanctified animal, that's not an animal that you have in mind to bring as a sacrifice. But the switch around possibility does nevertheless exist because of the similarity between a chulin sheep and a sanctified sheep. La'afuke bali mumin, to the exclusion of the case of the blemished animal, the lo ichlufi michlaf, it's not something that you would confuse with an unblemished animal. And it's also not an animal that you have in mind to offer as a sacrifice, being that it's a balmum. And that's why, in the case of balmum, Rabbi Meir would concede that one is guilty if he slaughters such an animal on Shabbos. You'll notice a slash mark appears, indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. Yosef Rabbi Zerov Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Akilo de Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok. So we have Rabbi Zerov and Rav Shmuel are sitting at the Akilo, as a type of porch entrance area to a house, and it belongs to Rav Shmuel. The Yasvi Vukamri, and they, Rabbi Zerov and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Rabbi Zera seems to be a visitor and Rabbi Shmuel is the host. They are sitting and saying, Omer of Shimon ben Lakish, Nischalef lo shpud shel noiser, b'shpud shel tzli, v'ochloi. A switch around took place between a shpud is a skewer or a spit on which pieces of meat are connected and roasted. And in this case you have a shpud of Nosar, which is strictly forbidden to eat. Nosar is sacrificial meat that is left over beyond its time. So he had this shpud of Nosar meat that got confused with a shpud of tzli, roasted meat, which you're allowed to eat, the ochlo, and he ate it. He ate the Nosar meat mistakenly, chayef. So Reb Shimon says that he is chayef. Even though the kotcha meat, the tzli, which was sacrificed properly sacrificed and still on time sacrificial meat, even though there's a mitzvah in eating it, and here this person made a mistake concerning mitzvah fulfillment, Rabbi Shimon Lofish says he is nevertheless chayav. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan gives us another case. That's why we have at the end of the previous line a semicolon. This is another case, but it has in common with Shimon Malachi's case issue of error. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ishtoi Nida Boal Chayav, Yevimtoi Nida Boal Potter. If a person mistakenly had intimacy with his wife who was in her Nida state, her menstruation state, which is a period of time that the wife is, one, even though it's one's own wife, she's strictly forbidden to participate in intimacy. And if one does that, so he's chayav. Yevimto nida. Yevimto is a yevoma who happens to also be a nida. The yevoma is a one's sister-in-law, where one's brother died, leaving her as a widow, not having left the brother not having left any children. The intimacy with her constitutes an act of marriage. Sometimes in English it's referred to as the levirate marriage. In the case that she is experiencing the nida period, she cannot be wed that way. But nevertheless, if he does, yevimto nida bo'al poter, he is exempt. The Gemara asks, actually let's correct ourselves, this is a another Iko Diamri, another version, more accurately, what is the basis of Rabbi Yochanan? Iko Diamri, some say, Kol Shekein Behahi, regarding Reish Lakish's case, he all the more so would be chayav the lo osa mitzvah. And the Reish Lakish mistake, what happened? He ate a shpud shel noisar. What would Rabbi Yochanan say about that case? Well, he certainly would be guilty, be chayav, because he didn't do any mitzvah. Is the Amri, another version is, Bahi Potter. In that case, the Reish Lakish case, Rabbi Yochanan would say he's exempt. My taima, why? What's the difference? In other words, in the Reish Lakish case, Rabbi Yochanan would have said, given a lenient ruling, whereas in the case that Rabbi Yochanan himself addressed, there was stringency. Why? My taima, hasam, in the case of Ishto Nida, Hosam hu dahave le lishyule. He should have asked her, what is her current status? Nida or not Nida? Avohocha, in the case of a spit with meat on it, the lo have le lishyule. They can't ask it any questions, an inanimate object. Lo, therefore, he is exempt. The Gemara asks, for Rabbi Yochanan, my shno yevimto de ka'ovid mitzvah, why in the case of the Yevama do we say there's innocence because he performed a mitzvah, ishto nida, the mitzvah being fulfilling that levirate marriage. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to marry one's sister-in-law after she is widowed, not having left children, of course. So there's exemption because he is doing a mitzvah, ishto nami ka'ovid mitzvah, in his intimacy with his wife, he is fulfilling the mitzvah of procreation. The Gemara answers, be'ishto me'uberes. No, in the case of the wife, she was already pregnant, so there wouldn't be any procreation as a result of this act of intimacy. Question, vo'iko simchas oino, is there still not a mitzvah of providing satisfaction to the woman through the act of intimacy, even if she happens to be pregnant? So, therefore, if you're saying the innocence in the case of Yevimto Nida is that there is a mitzvah being performed, so too in this case of Ishto Nida. The Gemara responds, Shiloi Bishas Oinosa. The concept of Ona are times that are assigned based on, you can see this in a mission of Maseches Ksubas, when a man is expected to provide the pleasure of intimacy to his wife. And there are fixed times or gaps in time that are accounted for, and Rashi makes a very brief allusion to it. It depends on the type of occupation the person has, how frequently he is found at home. And here we're talking about a case where that is, where it's not the official or formal time for the oino. The Gemara asks, so what? Even if it's not the shas oino, Amar Rava chayav adam l'sameach ishto bedvar mitzvah. Now this concept of providing simcha to his wife is even if it's not the official time, if he sees that his wife desires being with him, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation to provide her with this act. So still the question remains, why by ishto nida is Rabbi Yochanan mechayev and not in the case of yevimto nida? The Gemara answers, Samuch Levesta. The reason there's no mitzvah is because it's right near her expected time period of having her generally speaking, monthly flow. And at that point, he is to separate himself from her. Ihachi afilu yevimto nami. Well, if that's the case, then it would have to be the same circumstances by the Yevoma case. And there we see, nevertheless, he's Potter, but if you're saying it's Samuch Levesta, so he should have separated from her, stayed away from her. The Gemara answers, Yevimto bozes mina, ishto lo bozes mina. One's sister-in-law, and this is their first encounter in intimate terms, he is embarrassed to ask her where she is with regard to her monthly cycle. And therefore, we can't expect of him to have inquired, whereas by ishto, by his wife, he should have inquired, and by not doing so, he is acting irresponsibly, and therefore he is chayev. Rabbi Yochanan Keman, Rabbi Yochanan, who indicated innocence in the case of toeh bedvar mitzvah. On the side, we will notice we have a mivneh heading, and you'll notice a house form that appears. This is a chipus avur tana. We're looking for a tana she'olav soimek Rabbi Yochanan, upon whom Rabbi Yochanan, who is an amora, upon whom a tana upon whom Rabbi Yochanan will be relying, shepotah hatoy bedvar mitzvah, kagon habo al yevimto nida. That would have been the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's exemption for having been mekayim yibum with a Yevoma Nida. Again, let's just to make no mistake, it's forbidden to have relations with Yevimto Nida, but nevertheless, the mitzvah of marrying her is accomplished. And it's based on that Rabbi Yochanan says he would be exempt. In general, relations with a Nida, if done, Bishoge, it results in the need to bring a sin offering. Yet here, relations with Yevimto Nida, Rabbi Yochanan says he will be potter. So as you can see in the Gemara, we're going to be on our way to a search which Tana would say that Toeh Bedvar Mitzvah is the basis of exemption. You'll notice, as the Gemara continues, a double underlined expression, you'll see Dilma, or other expressions, will be double underlined. That represents a rejection of whatever suggested authorship or basis for Rabbi Yochanan is mentioned. So we'll have suggestions followed by rejections. By the end of this sugya, do not be surprised if we don't end up with a Tanaic basis for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara, after asking Rabbi Yochanan Keman, I lema ki Rabbi Yossi, are we to say that Rabbi Yochanan is based on Rabbi Yossi Disnan? Rabbi Yossi Omer, and as you can see, we present each time a Tanaic source with the respective Tana in it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yom Tov Horishon Shel Chag, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. The 15th of the month of Tishrei. Chag is another name for Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot that comes out on a Shabbos. According to the Torah, even though it's not, we'll say, common practice nowadays, but as far as the Torah is concerned, one is to perform the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog on a Torah basis. The Torah expects us to perform mitzvahs Lulav and Esrog one day, and that is on the first day of the holiday, even if that first day happens to be Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi says, the first day of Sukkot that comes out on a Shabbos, v'shochach v'hoitzi es ha-lulav v'shus rabim, and he mistakenly carried the lulav out into a public thoroughfare. Potter, v'pnei shahotzi b'rishus. He is exempt because he did so under the guise of mitzvah fulfillment. In other words, he carried out into the shus rabim with the intention of fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. The Gemara rejects this example. Dilma shiny hosom. The case of lulav is different than the case of yevimto. Dizmano bohul. He's confounded by the time pressure. In other words, lulav has a fixed time, one day after which you're not mekayim the mitzvah. As a result of his being confounded by time, that's what caused him to make the mistake of carrying it out into the public thoroughfare on Shabbos, which is, of course, we should have mentioned before that it's prohibited to carry the lulav outside to the public thoroughfare. But because of this confounding element of time passage, that is reason for exemption, as opposed to the Yevimto case. Even though there's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah that has a time factor associated with it. The Gemara continues, Ve'alo, Rabbi Yeshua Dizvochim. Maybe the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's exemption by Yevimto is Rabbi Yeshua in the case of the sacrifices. And what did we see there? So we saw above, in the case of someone sacrificing, let us say, another korban, but having in mind for it to be a korban Pesach, we saw Rabbi Yeshua in arguing with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yeshua was lenient, pottered. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yeshua can't serve as a basis for Rabbi Yochanan. Dilma hosam nami zmano bohul. There too, there was a time factor, the time of the 14th of Nisan, the time for doing the Korban Pesach. V'yelo, Rabbi Yeshua de Tinokos. Maybe the exemption would be based on Rabbi Yeshua in the case of the Bris Milah that we saw earlier. The Gemara says, no, Hasam Nami Zmano Bol. There too also there's a time factor. There's the fact that you have to do the Shabbos circumcision of the baby for whom Shabbos is its eighth day. So once again, there's a time factor which creates the confusion in his mind, and or the pressure. The pressure of the time is the basis or the reason for his becoming confused. And that's not the case in the Yevoma. We continue. V'ela k'Rabbi Yeshua de Truma. Maybe it is like Rabbi Yeshua in the case of Truma Disnan. Hoy oichel b'truma, v'noda shu ben grusho ben chalutza. A person is eating Truma, and of course only a Kohen is entitled to eat Truma. And this person discovers that though his father was a Kohen, nevertheless he was born as a result of his father bonding with a divorced woman, or a woman who had received chalitza, where a surviving brother-in-law rejects her in the levirate marriage. And a Kohen that marries one of these women, a grusha or a chalutza, the child is not entitled to eat truma. He's called a cholol, and his din is one of a Yisrael, and he's not allowed to eat truma. So a person who thought he was a Kohen finds out that he's a ben grusha mechalutza. Rabbi Lezer mechayev keren v'chomish Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Lezer says he is considered as a standard violator of truma consumption, and he has to pay the principle plus a fifth, and yet Rabbi Yeshua says he is exempt. Rabbi Yeshua's exemption is based on the fact that he thought he was a Kohen, and a Kohen's eating of Truma is considered a mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, this cannot serve as our basis for Rabbi Yochanan either. Dilma, and here you'll see there are two rejections. That's why we have them numbered as 1 and 2. And take note of the fact that this also spans a few lines. That's why we have a long dechia marking. Dilma, kirabevai, barabaye. Maybe the circumstances of the Rabbi Yeshua Truma Din are as Rabbevai explains, Yomar Rabbevai barabaye, betruma be'erev ha-pesach. We're talking about a case of someone eating Truma, this fellow who ate and found out it was a Ben Grusha, he was eating it on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, where there's a time factor. You have to get rid of the Truma, or the Chometz. We're talking about Erev Pesach, Truma that's Chometz, where you have a time pressure factor. Inami, shiny Truma, Dekriya Voda. Or Truma is different than the case of Yavoma, insofar as Truma is called temples, it's called service, as the term Avoda is associated, generally speaking, with Beis HaMikdash, or temple service. Nevertheless, Truma is called Avoda, the Avoda Rachmona Achshirin, and in the case of an Avoda done by this kind of person, a cholol who mistakenly did Avoda, the Torah has a special Gzeres HaKosev that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, exempts him from this offense, from the punishment for the offense of a non-Kohen doing avoda. Disnan hoy oimedu makri. If a person is standing on the mizbeach and offering sacrifices, v'noda shu ben grusho ben chutz, and discovers, becomes known to him that he is unfit by virtue of his background, being a ben grusho ben chutz. So kol hakovanos kulon shehikriv al gabi mizbeach psulin. All the sacrifices that he had offered till that point on the mizbeach are considered unfit. Rabbi Yeshua Machshi, Rabbi Yeshua though says they are considered fit. The Amrino in my time at Rabbi Yeshua. What is the basis of Rabbi Yeshua's acceptance of the korbanos that he had offered till this point? Dichtiv. So the answer is found in a pasuk. Borech Hashem cheloi ufoyal yodov tirtzeh. And the drosha, even though the Gemara doesn't spell it out over here, but it says Borech Hashem chelo. The word chelo is also taken to mean cholol, that the acts of the cholol are nevertheless accepted. Therefore, the case of Truma cannot be the basis for the case of the Avoma, Truma being classified like Avoda, and we find leniency in the realm of Avoda, not the realm of Yavoma. The Gemara now asks, Utruma Hecha Ikri Avoda, where do you find Truma being referred to by the term Avoda, and hence the leniency by Truma? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source, which will take us to the third line from the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, but noting all along that as far as a basis for Rabbi Yochanan's Din by Yavama, we haven't found that. So the source here that features Truma being considered Avoda, Maisa Rabbi Tarfon, Shalobo Emesh Lebeis HaMedrash, an incident took place where Rabbi Tarfon did not come the day before to the Beis Medrash. So the next day, L'Shachris, and the next morning, Motzi Rabbi Gamliel, Amar Lo Mnei Malo Boso Emesh Lebeis HaMedrash. Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Tarfon, why didn't you come yesterday to the Beis Medrash? Amar Lo, Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Kohen, Rabbi Tarfon says, Avoda Avadati, I was engaged in Avoda. Omar Lo, Rabbi Gamliel asks, what you're saying is borders on the unexplicable. Avoda bizman hazeh minayin? Do we have avoda nowadays? We're talking about a time in history where the Beis HaMikdash was no longer extant. Omar Lo, Rabbi Tarfon answers, Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, and we continue at the top of Ayin Gimel Omer Aleph, it says, Avodas matono etain es kunaschem, vazor akorev yumos. Now this pasuk is in the context of the different gifts and tithes that the Torah allocates to the kahuna, to the kohanim. And included in these tithes is the truma. And the pasuk says, avodas matona, asu achilas truma begvulin kavodas beis hamikdash. The Torah considers the consumption of truma, begvulin means outside the beis hamikdash, as if it were avoda inside the beis hamikdash. Before we conclude, let us just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.